draft them, and then look for somebody to buy them. Some of these wholesalers will keep some of their deals to flip or hold themselves, but for many of them, they simply don't have the capital to keep everything. In these instances, I want to be the first person they turn to when they need to move the deal. If you look at the job of a wholesaler, they are basically doing all the heavy lifting of finding and landing a deal, but don't have the capital to capitalize on that deal. These are the fishermen who are catching fish, but don't have the means to sell them themselves, and instead must rely on a merchant to do that for them. Because of this, they have to sell at a discount to keep their end buyers happy. If you wanted to cut out any part of the fishing process, wouldn't it be the hard work of waking up early, launching the boat, and laboring away on the water? I sure would. For this reason, I look to people like wholesalers to bring me deals. While this works well for wholesalers, it isn't exclusive to wholesalers. Bird dogs can work the same way. A bird dog is someone who goes out and pounds the pavement looking for deals. When they find them, they notify you about them or put them under contract for you. Some bird dogs do this for a monetary reward, others for more of a mentorship and knowledge-based reward. Regardless of how you set this up, a bird dog is a great resource to put to work on your behalf to find you deals or get you fish. This principle of changing your approach from catching fish to looking for those with too many fish can work anywhere. Think of the possibilities. I send them emails and make an effort to stay in touch with them because I want to stay top of mind. The following are samples of emails I send to those who I think are likely to come across deals or those who hunt for deals. Lenders. Hello, my name is blank, and I am a real estate investor who buys properties in the blank area. I'm writing to you because your name came up through several people I know as an elite level lender with experience working with real estate investors. I wanted you to know I'm actively looking for property to buy and willing to be pre-approved through your business for you to provide me lending on deals that pass my way. I'm hoping you can send me your loan application and we can set up a quick phone call to discuss my file, what I'm looking for, and how we can help each other's businesses. Additionally, I know as a lender, you often put in massive time on a file that for various reasons beyond your control does not close. I wanted to let you know I would be extremely grateful for you to let me know when anything resembling a great deal falls out of escrow or otherwise crosses your path. If at all possible, I'll buy it and let you represent me on the sale, refinance, or both. I would love to learn more about how I can help you as well, what programs you offer, and what kind of clients I can refer you to. Please let me know when a good time for a follow-up phone call will be. I'll be happy to leave you a positive review on the platform of your choice after we do. Looking forward to working together. Thanks. Property managers. Hello, my name is blank, and I'm a real estate investor who buys properties in the blank area. I'm writing to you because your name came up through several people I know as an elite level property manager with experience working with real estate investors. I wanted you to know I'm actively looking for property to buy and willing to have you manage the property once I do. I'm hoping you can send me your application and we can set up a quick phone call to discuss my file, what I'm looking for, and how we can help each other's businesses. Additionally, I know as a property manager, you often manage properties, stabilize them, then have the owner sell them. I wanted you to know if you find one of your clients selling a property you manage, I would be extremely grateful if you would let me know first. If I can buy it, I'll keep the property in your portfolio to manage, as well as any additional properties I buy. Furthermore, if any of your clients come across a deal they cannot buy, I would be grateful for the opportunity to buy the property and have you manage it. I would love to learn more about how I can help you as well, what programs you offer, and what kind of clients I can refer you to. Please let me know when a good time for a follow-up phone call will be. I'll be happy to leave you a positive review on the platform of your choice after we do. Looking forward to working together. Thanks. Wholesalers. Hello, my name is blank, and I'm a real estate investor who buys properties in the blank area. I'm writing to you because your name came up through several people I know as an elite-level wholesaler with experience working with real estate investors. I wanted you to know I'm actively looking for property to buy and willing to be pre-approved through your business. I'm hoping we can set up a quick phone call to discuss my file, what I'm looking for, and how we can help each other's businesses. Additionally, I know as a wholesaler, you often put in a lot of time on a property that for various reasons beyond your control does not close. Whether it's your buyers backing out or your seller being unwilling to make concessions, I would love to know about deals you come across that need a strong buyer to close. I would be extremely grateful if you could let me know if anything resembling a great deal falls out of escrow or otherwise crosses your path. If at all possible, I'll buy it, refinance it, then buy from you again. I understand the need you have for strong buyers to follow through on their word. I am an experienced investor who can get due diligence done very quickly, close quickly, and keep my word. I would love to learn more about how I can help you as well, what programs you offer, and what kind of clients I can refer you to. Please let me know when a good time for a follow-up phone call will be. I'll be happy to leave you a positive review on the platform of your choice after we do. Looking forward to working together. Thanks. Agents. Hello, my name is blank, and I am a real estate investor who buys properties in the blank area. I'm writing to you because your name came up through several people I know as a highly skilled and effective real estate agent with experience working with real estate investors. I wanted you to know I'm actively looking for property to buy and willing to be represented by you during this process. I'm hoping you can send me your criteria of what is needed to be able to work successfully together, and we can set up a quick phone call to discuss my goals, what types of properties I'm looking for, and how we can help each other's businesses. Additionally, I know as an agent, you often put in a lot of time on a file that for various reasons beyond your control does not close. I wanted to let you know I would be extremely grateful if you could let me know if anything resembling a great deal falls out of escrow or otherwise crosses your path. If at all possible, I'll buy it and let you represent me on the sale, then list it if it's a flip property. I would love to learn more about how I can help you as well, what programs you offer, and what kind of clients I can refer you to. Please let me know when a good time for a follow-up phone call will be. I'll be happy to leave you a positive review on the platform of your choice after we do. Looking forward to working together. Thanks. Attorneys. Hello, my name is blank, and I am a real estate investor who buys properties in the blank area. I'm writing to you because your name came up through several people I know as an elite level attorney who often comes across situations with clients needing to find a solid, fast buyer for their property. I'm hoping you can keep me in mind, and we can set up a quick phone call to discuss my situation, what I can do to help you out, and how we can help each other's businesses. Additionally, I know as an attorney, your goal is to represent your client's interests, and I wanted to let you know I would be extremely grateful if you could let me know if anything resembling a great deal crosses your path. If at all possible, I'll buy it and prove to you I am reliable, honest, and trustworthy. My goal is to become a resource and an asset to your business to help you serve your clients better. I would love to learn more about how I can help you as well, what programs you offer, and what kind of clients I can refer you to. Please let me know when a good time for a follow-up phone call will be. I'll be happy to leave you a positive review on the platform of your choice after we do. Looking forward to working together. Thanks. Family and friends. Hello. I'm writing to you as a friendly reminder that you can help me with a very big part of my life, finding financial freedom through real estate. As you may already know, I'm looking for real estate deals to buy and rent out or sometimes flip. Not every deal will meet my criteria, so I spend a considerable amount of time looking for the right one. I would love it if you kept me in mind whenever you hear about someone who needs to sell their house quickly. The condition of the house does not matter, as sometimes the crappier ones are better. I've found that unfortunate circumstances can lead to crisis. Some of these situations are unexpected or expected deaths, divorces, sudden relocations, or hoarder houses. If you hear of anyone experiencing any of these problems, please keep me in mind and contact me. I want to be the person who can make one aspect of their lives easier in these situations. I always take measures to be kind, compassionate, and professional, and often buy homes people don't want real estate agents to show for various reasons. Thank you so much for your cooperation with this, and please let me know what goals you have so I can reciprocate. I would love to hear more about what you'd like to achieve and how I can assist with that. Thanks again for keeping me top of mind. Sincerely, staying top of mind. There is a game I often play with investors or new real estate agents to prove the power of staying top of mind. I tell them I'm going to say the name of an item, and when I do, I want them to spit out as fast as they can the first two brands that come to mind. As an example, I tell them if I say shoes, they might respond Nike and Reebok. I then take a piece of paper and write something down on it they can't see. Right after that, I say toothpaste. So far, every time I've done this practice, the only two answers I've ever heard are Crest and Colgate. I show them that's exactly what I wrote down on the paper after they give those two names. The point of the exercise is to show that if you want to be thought of right away, you need to be the first or second name someone thinks of when a good deal comes their way. We all know there are probably 20 brands of toothpaste. Had I given the person 10 minutes to think of more brands, they might have thought of 20. However, how much time and effort are people going to put into thinking of who to talk to when someone casually mentions a great real estate deal? The overwhelming majority who hear it will, if nobody immediately comes to mind, let it pass right out of their brain as they go about their day. Why is it that everyone thinks Crest and Colgate? Brand recognition. They own the real estate in our brains when it comes to toothpaste. If you want to be the person someone thinks of when a good deal crosses their path, you need to own that piece of real estate in their brain. How do you do that? Constant, systematic contact. This is one of the most powerful systems you can develop, your lead generation system. Remember, a lead is anything a business can convert into a profit, and you are running a business. Staying in touch with property managers, lenders, agents, family, etc. is one of the ways you are running your business to help you find deals. So what's the best way to do this? Well, you can buy a system or you can build one. For those wanting to build their own system and maybe save the most money, many people create a spreadsheet. You can use any program like Excel, Numbers, or Google Sheets. They all work similarly. To use a spreadsheet, you'll enter all the names of those you want to stay in touch with in one column, with additional columns to keep track of their profession, address, phone number, email address, etc. You'll then continue to add rows for every time you speak with them, including notes to track what was said and what date the conversation occurred. Setting aside time every day to update this spreadsheet is something that will ultimately make you a lot of money once you become the Crest or Colgate in their mind. If this seems like too much work for you, I recommend using some form of CRM, Customer Relationship Manager, to organize your contacts and conversations. In my experience, many of these systems can be used for $15 to $50 a month, quite affordable. Some CRMs, like Podio, are free and can be built to serve the purpose you want them to. While you might initially think you don't want to spend money on anything, I would strongly urge you to reconsider. The purpose of a CRM is to keep you in contact with leads, period. Many CRMs will also provide a feature where you can track leads as progress from first hearing about them to close. CRMs are powerful business tools. Just keeping in touch with people you already know and staying top of mind with them alone will lead to you finding deals. If you can find a way to use a CRM to help you accomplish this goal, you just may find a system that makes real estate investing and deal finding much easier than you expected. If you do take the CRM route, you can build it to remind you who you should be reaching out to, what you last spoke about, and which deals need what once they are in your pipeline. You may already see where I'm going with this. If you create a computer system to remind you what to do and how to do it, you can now leverage this task to someone else. Once you have a CRM built with reminders to stay in touch with your database, you can hire someone else to do that. Paying someone or finding an intern to work for free to stay in touch with agents, PMs, attorneys, etc., is a great way to make progress through leveraging others to be an extension of yourself. The impact of compound interest. When you understand how powerful compound interest is, it will change the way you look at money. Many people have gone to huge lengths to save money once they realized the impact it could have on their future financial lives. Just like my analogy of planting the seeds from your fruit rather than eating them, if you keep reinvesting your profits, eventually you grow entire orchards from your trees. On my website, greenincome.com, that's green with an E at the end, greenincome.com, I have a spreadsheet listed under the Info tab. On it, you can see just how powerful compound interest is when allowed to run its course over time. The spreadsheet shows how an initial investment of $125,000 can be optimized to produce significant results. You can plug in your own numbers once you download it. In my initial sample, I show how if you purchased a property for $125,000 cash, then pull out 80% of the money, you're left with $100,000. If you were to reinvest this money at 12%, buying notes, for example, and use that income to pay down your $100,000 mortgage, you'd pay it off in only 5.8 years. If you then refinance, pulled out another $100,000, then reinvested that money at 12%, you'd pay the new mortgage off in only 3.4 years if you applied your profits directly toward the mortgage principal. This cycle could continue on and on, letting the power of compound interest work its magic as you paid each mortgage off progressively faster each time. If you check out the second tab in the spreadsheet, you can see over a matter of years just how fast the money grows. After 33 years, your initial investment of $125,000 will be producing over $50,000 a month. And this is assuming zero growth in the value of the home or rental income over a 33-year period. Not a very likely scenario. By all reasonable measures, your wealth would have grown much, much more than this over that period. This is what compound interest does. Why do I bring this up in a book about fixer-upper properties and the Burr strategy? Because just like compound interest can grow your money quickly, so can leveraging people and systems in your business. The compound effect of other fishermen bringing you fish, cleaning those fish, and selling them for you works the same way compound interest does to grow your wealth. Getting more people involved in the process and supervising their work is immensely more effective than trying to do it all yourself. Many people have grasped the concept of compound interest. Books have been written on it, speeches given, theories created, etc. It's a simple but powerful concept. I want to encourage you to take that same principle of compound interest and apply it to people. By getting others involved in your business, finding other fishermen to go fish for you, and empowering and teaching them how to do it, you can go from being the hardworking fisherman to the happy business owner. The secret is understanding leverage and applying it wisely. What makes compound interest work is consistency over time. By making a return, reinvesting it, then making a return on that, you can turn small numbers into large ones over a long period of time. If you look at this philosophically, what you're really doing is making good, small decisions over and over and over. Wealth is built this way, whether it's through real estate or the stock market. The principle of compound interest is easy to understand. What you may not understand is there are two ways it can be put to practice. If we consider the effect that compound interest has on your wealth as progression, we see there are two types of progression, linear progression, and geometric progression. Linear progression is steady, predictable, and even. It is getting the same return over and over, year after year. It is non-compound interest. Linear progression is getting a 10% return on a $100,000 investment every year. On a graph, linear progression is a straight line that never changes its angle. It is earning $10,000 on that $100,000 investment every year. After 10 years, you'd have $100,000. Geometric progression is much more exciting. It behaves more like compound interest. Geometric progression is the concept of doubling your returns every year as opposed to earning the same 10% every year. Geometric progression isn't a straight line. It's more of a hockey stick curve on a graph. Geometric progression starts off slowly, gains momentum, then takes off. When it takes off, it really takes off. Geometric progression doesn't happen by repeating the same act over and over. It happens by capitalizing on new opportunities, creating opportunities out of those opportunities, then creating opportunities out of all of those. In the beginning of the book, we compared the traditional method of buying real estate with the Burr method of buying real estate. By looking at two investors who started off in the same position but built their portfolios in different ways, Traditional Tom and Mastery Mike. Traditional Tom used a method consistent with linear progression. He bought the same number of homes every month over the whole time period. Tom worked the same hours, bought the same type of homes, and got the same results. At the end of his career, he achieved a very predictable result. Mastery Mike, who used the Burr method, had a result more consistent with geometric progression. He continued to work and earn the same money, but he deployed that capital in a much more efficient way. Mike was able to geometrically increase his results and ended up far better off than Tom. When you focus on geometric progression, you look for ways to take everything you've learned and put those skills to work for you, looking for new opportunities. Geometric progression is the act of learning how to find properties that meet your criteria, then teaching those criteria to 5 agents who all start looking for you. As you start receiving more deals than you can afford to buy, you start wholesaling them and earning money off that, or raising private money to buy, then refinance them. Once you've got a large number of deals coming in, you use what you've learned to train contractors on your rehab process, then hire a project manager to manage all the projects that are coming in. As you learn more about the industry, you start leveraging your contacts to find lenders that will work with investors, then leveraging the volume you do to get better deals from those lenders. By combining all these new skills and abilities, you help the success of your business. I want you to start thinking in a geometrically progressive way. Look for ways to grow and find new opportunities with every single new thing you learn. This is how you maximize the repeat element of Burr. Learning to buy, rehab, rent, and refinance will make you money. Learning to repeat will change your life. Don't waste all the effort you put into learning real estate investing by buying a few properties and stopping. Once you've put in all the hard work and sacrifice, you deserve to reap the rewards. Value through volume: how investing at scale gives you a competitive advantage. So far in this chapter, we've been looking into why scaling the systems you have built is advantageous to you. Most of what I've shared so far has been related to how systems make your life easier and your business run smoother. While these are important reasons to build systems and stick to them, they aren't the most important reasons. The most important reasons to rely on systems is the ability they give you to increase your volume. Volume makes everything easier, and real estate investing is no exception. I want to share with you some of the ways increasing your volume will not only grow your wealth, it will also increase your profitability. When I talk about buying turnkey properties, I use an analogy that buying turnkey is like buying a soda from a convenience store, while learning to invest is like buying from a bulk warehouse. Costco is known for having very low prices and often tempts people to buy way more than they ever planned on buying while they're there. What's Costco's secret? volume. Costco sells items to its customers in bulk. The more items someone buys at one time, the more Costco makes, so the cheaper they can price each individual item. Costco also drives large amounts of customers to its stores, largely due to its low prices. As more and more people buy from Costco, the sales go up. As sales increase, the store can ask for discounts from its suppliers on the items they sell, buying in bulk themselves. Wherever you have this increased volume, you're likely to find a lower price point and higher profitability. When investing in real estate, this same principle is at play. Using the same team member over and over will allow you to develop a rapport with them and a familiarity in how they work. This will not only save you time, it will also likely save you money. You are much more likely to get discounts from every vendor or team member you use when you use them more than once. This repeat business, or volume, will save you money on your costs of sale. I'm going to share with you ways you can save money with several of the people associated with buying and fixing up rental property. These are some of the ways I've structured my relationships to work with each of my team members, and creative concepts I've used to help keep our relationship win-win. While I can't list every single strategy you can use, if you can understand the point of the concept, you'll likely come up with some original ideas that will work in your own business with the people you partner with. Contractors. Doing repeat deals with the same contractor who values your business is one of the single best ways you can save yourself money investing in real estate. Primarily because rehab costs are often the biggest expense in the entire process. Going after ways to eliminate costs on your big ticket items is always a much better idea than trying to nickel and dime providers of much smaller items. Always start from the top and work your way down from there. When you use the same contractor, you can develop a system with that person. The contractor knows how you want to receive bids, how soon you'll pay them, what they need to do to keep you happy, etc. Once this familiarity is established, the contractor will save time communicating with you. Saving this time also saves them money. Once your contractor knows what you want the jobs to look like when they are finished, they are less likely to need to send crew members back to finish the job. This saves them money also. Once you are saving your contractor money, it's okay to expect them to save you some money. Asking to reduce their profit margin on the jobs they are bidding for you is an accepted business practice if you are providing them with a significant number of properties to work on. The volume you provide them allows them to justify a smaller profit margin, just like Costco does. When you have systems in place to raise money, to buy property, and to rehab efficiently, you can ramp up your volume and consequently pay your contractors less. Going bigger in your investing will save you money on your construction costs. Property managers. Property managers are the people who look after your properties when you can't. If you are going to scale your business through leverage and truly repeat this whole BRRRR process, there will eventually come a time when property management is not an option, it's a necessity. One of the benefits to increasing the volume at which your portfolio grows is you have more negotiating power with property managers to get them to lower their fees. Part of this process is establishing a rapport with the property manager and creating a system both of you are comfortable with that saves each of you time. Coming up with a plan for which types of problems the PM can solve without your approval, lists of phone numbers of the handyman you want the PM calling when things break, and details of how lease renewals will be handled helps the PM to know how much time and effort they'll be spending on your portfolio. Your goal is to make it as efficient for them as possible so they spend the least amount of time they can on your properties. If you can accomplish this, you can ask for a reduction in the amount of money you pay them every month. The PM's entire argument for why they won't reduce their fees is that it takes them too much time to do the work. If you have already eliminated that argument, it's tough for them to stick to it. Once I have 3 to 4 properties with 1 PM, I ask for a 1% decrease in the fee they charge me to manage the property. Once I get 6 to 7 properties, I ask for a 2% decrease. Once I hit 10 or more, I ask for a 3% decrease. This is how I routinely pay 7% to property managers when the going rate is 10%. It's not that I'm a cheapskate. It's that I'm providing them value through volume so they can afford to give me a better price. This is something I couldn't accomplish if it wasn't for systems, volume, and maximizing the repeat part of BRRRR. Lenders. Working with the same lender over and over helps you in many ways. The first and obvious way is you don't have to fill out a new application and jump through all the initial hoops each time. This saves you a lot of time. For this reason alone, many investors stay loyal to the same lender, even if they could get better terms somewhere else. While I don't always agree with that, I want to share with you a way you can keep the efficiency of using the same lender while also saving yourself money. When a lender originates a loan, they typically sell it off to someone else who packages it with other loans and sells them to a mortgage-backed securities, MBS, fund. The originator of that loan gets paid for selling it, and the salesperson, loan officer, gets a chunk of that money. If this is the case with your lender, you can ask for a lender credit or something similar. This is the lender crediting you back money that comes out of their bottom line. While it's not good business practice to ask for this right off the bat, it can be okay to do so if you're doing several loans with the same lender. If you're going to do this, make sure you're providing volume and make sure your files are quick and easy to close. If you're a high-maintenance client, you shouldn't be asking for a credit back. If you're doing your loan through a company that's not selling them to a fund, a portfolio lender, for example, I recommend only asking for a lender credit if you are already providing this lender plenty of referrals. The concept of value through volume applies here as well if you're providing volume through referrals instead of just through your own business. Thinking creatively like this can save you money, and it's another example of how you can get better returns by scaling your business. Agents. If you're using an agent to find you deals, this is a quick and easy way to save money on the process. The key is to being an easy client. How do you do that? You let your agent do their thing, give them clear direction and standards for what you want, and then get out of their way. If you can establish a consistent and simple system with the real estate agent you're using, you can save them time. Once you've done that, you can expect a discount if you're bringing them volume. The key to making this work is finding an agent who also has a system. If your agent has a system for managing sales, they won't be spending as much of their own time, and they are more likely to give you a discount. How does this discount work? The best way is to negotiate a lower commission when it comes to selling houses. The second best way is to negotiate yourself higher into their chain of supply when it comes to who gets the first phone call when a great deal crosses their desk. If you're a house flipper, you can pay less to your listing agent if you're consistently bringing them business. The same standard applies if you're sending them constant referrals. Combining this with being easy to work with is the best way to get an agent to lower their commission. Additionally, if you have an agent who doesn't do much for you other than write offers and make sure the deal closes, you can ask for a piece of their commission as well. Now, understand, this is treading on thin ice. You're already getting their services for free, and it can be especially greedy to ask for even more. My recommendation is you only do this if you are making their job incredibly easy. In my opinion, a much better way to capitalize on the value through the volume you are bringing someone is to let them know you expect to see the best deals first. This will make you way more money in the long run than saving a couple hundred or thousand by shaving it off the agent's commission. Asking for an agent's commission can actually backfire because it makes them more likely to bring their best deals to someone else. They make more doing it that way. If you were in their position, you'd do the exact same thing. Remember, by being the person who buys the most properties, you can expect the best service the best prices, and have the opportunity to build the best systems. Materials. This concept can work on a smaller scale in hardware stores where you'll buy the materials for your properties. If you buy enough from these stores, you can get set up for a contractor's discount or something similar. Stores want people shopping from them over and over, so if you're buying in volume, they want your business. Ask a representative the next time you're at one what it is you'll need to do to receive these discounts and what kinds of discounts they are. Types of properties. This same concept of volume works when it comes to the types of properties you buy as well. Multifamily investors are often found quoting the favorable economies of scale found in large apartment buildings with many doors under one roof compared to those of single-family investors with their portfolios scattered around a large geographic area. This close-knit conglomeration of properties works to keep costs lower in several ways. The first and most obvious way is you can have one group of people managing many units when there is a system in place for how this will be managed. One large apartment complex of 100 units can operate very efficiently from a management perspective when they have one form of marketing, one policy, one procedure manual, one way to collect rents, one person to call for maintenance issues, etc. Having one central hub of management on site allows for a few employees to manage a large number of tenants. As you can see, anytime you are doing something at a great volume, there are several inherent advantages for you. Whether it's the fact that repetition, another way of expressing the concept of volume, makes you better, or the fact that profit margins increase through volume, so you can ask for a piece of that increase, volume is your friend. This is why systems are so important. They serve to help you create a process that is easily replicated and makes volume more achievable. And that means you can make a lot more money. Key points. Real estate is a get-rich-slow game. Sharpen your skills before you begin for better results. Systems provide opportunities. Build your network through repeat business. Systems help you master the five elements of BRRRR. Stay top of mind to get deals first. You must be either Crest or Colgate. Compound interest is key. Investing at scale gives you a competitive advantage. Part 7. Digging Deeper. Chapter 12. Arguments Against BRRRR. Everyone hears only what he understands. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. So far, you've absorbed a lot of material relating to how to build wealth in real estate, much of which may have seemed new, confusing, or too good to be true. If you're a human and not a robot, you no doubt have some objections, or at the very least, questions about why BRRRR actually works or if it's superior to the traditional model when it comes to buying real estate. I want to help you out with that. There are a few commonly asked questions when it comes to using the BRRRR method to buy fixer-upper properties. While I'm sure I didn't catch them all, I do believe I have a solid list of the most common objections, misunderstandings, and myths about both the BRRRR method and real estate investing in general. If you've had that annoying little voice in your head the whole time you've been reading that is causing you to doubt, here's where we can finally silence it. 1. BRRRR is bad because having more equity in the property is safer. One common objection is putting a large down payment on a property is safer because more equity in the property gives you a cushion in case the market drops. Those with this mindset are looking at how to protect themselves against price drops and believe equity is the best way to do that. Why I disagree. First off, equity does not protect against losing an asset. Cash flow does. As I've mentioned before, cash flow does not make you rich. At least not for a long, long time. Cash flow, by design, is meant to keep you from losing a property. Your cash flow covers your expenses. If you have analyzed a property correctly, which you will if you read Part 4, The Rental Process, in this book, your cash flow will protect you. The amount of equity you have in a property is largely inconsequential when it comes to affecting your cash flow. After cash flow, it is your reserves that will protect you, not your equity. Keeping a significant amount of capital in reserves in case something goes wrong will prevent you from experiencing a foreclosure. You can only lose a property if you can't make the payment, and reserves will keep you afloat should you encounter a situation where you can't make the payment. Reserves are a hedge against vacancy, unexpected repairs, or big-ticket items needing to be replaced, roof, HVAC, etc. Equity only has a purpose if you're considering selling a property or perhaps refinancing it. Remember, if we use the Burr method correctly, we are still left with equity in the property. The difference is, this is equity we created, not capital we put down. Even if a property does lose equity, it only matters if you are selling a property. You can avoid needing to sell if you make sure the property cash flows positively. Cash flow plus reserves allow you to weather any storm in the market and sell at a date that makes financial sense for you to do so. Lastly, leaving equity in a property can actually be more risky than taking it out. If you are considering the worst-case scenario, like losing a property to foreclosure, the equity you leave in a property is the only money you can lose. If you don't have any of your own capital left in a property during a foreclosure, you can't lose any of it. There is an old poker adage: you can only lose what you put in the pot. That fits here as well. Leaving equity in a property increases your exposure and therefore your risk to losing capital. To be blunt, seeing equity as a way to protect against loss is the lazy person's way of protecting themselves, and it shows that person doesn't have a firm grasp of real estate principles. Don't be sucked into that kind of thinking. It may make sense on the surface, but it doesn't really pass muster once we look closer at it. Cash flow and reserves protect your investment, not equity. 2. The Burr method takes too long. I want to get started now. This argument has its root in the fact that you need to save up more cash to buy than if you just save up a 25% down payment plus reserves. In the Chapter 1 story of Traditional Tom versus Mastery Mike, Tom was able to get started faster than Mike did. For those who are impatient, this can feel like time being wasted when all you want to do is get started. Why I disagree. Even though you get started later, as we saw from the story of Tom versus Mike, Mike made way more in the long run. Taking more time to start is a wise investment if it allows you to burr over a significant period of time. The second reason I don't like this argument is it assumes the only way to buy a burr or fixer-upper property is with your own cash. That's simply not true. There are tons of ways to short-term finance a burr property if you're in a hurry to get started. Some of the easiest are: partner with someone who has money, borrow private money, use a hard money loan to buy or rehab, then refinance into a better long-term loan, take out a HELOC on a different rental property, take out a business loan, take a note against your car, find someone with a self-directed IRA and borrow from them, borrow against your own retirement plan, when applicable, use seller financing for the short term. With this many options, it's a little short-sighted to assume the only way to buy a burr property is to save up your own cash. The more you know about real estate investing and the more contacts you make, the more opportunities you have to find a way to finance a fixer-upper that won't qualify for traditional financing. 3. Burr is riskier because you have to invest more money when you buy. This argument is, to me, the easiest to debunk, but it's also the objection I hear more than anything else. The argument states that BRRRR investing is riskier because you are putting more money up front initially, and that means you have more to lose. Why I disagree. If I'm paying $100,000 to buy and rehab a property, that is a bigger number than a $25,000 down payment with a small $5,000 rehab budget. Because $100,000 is more than $30,000, BRRRR is therefore scarier and riskier. Here's why this doesn't add up. It takes too narrow of a focus on the initial part of the process. If you zoom out a bit and take a broader view of the whole process, it very quickly becomes apparent the BRRRR model is actually far less risky than the traditional model. Those afraid to put money into the deal in the beginning stages are usually those newer to real estate investing who don't understand that they aren't dumping money into a fund, buying stocks, buying Bitcoin, or making a business loan. In all these examples, you are giving money to someone else and hoping you get your money back, preferably with a return. If someone is looking at real estate investing this way, it makes sense they would be hesitant to put more money into the deal. The problem with this argument is real estate investing isn't the same as the examples I just gave. You aren't investing into a business, idea, or person. You are purchasing an asset with a hard value that's easy to appraise and improve its value. You are investing in a chunk of land with a property attached to it. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison. The BRRRR method is actually less risky than the traditional model for several reasons. You are buying undervalued property. You are taking control of the ability to improve a property's value. You are buying a property with a plan that allows you to improve its value. You will be able to get more of your money out of the deal when you're done, leaving less capital in the investment and reducing your risk. The equity you are creating gives you creative measures to raise money from others. Using OPM, other people's money, is a less risky form of investing. If your concern is you may put all this money in a home and then not be able to get it out, you can solve that problem by getting approved ahead of time. In the case that something goes wrong before you can complete your refinance, in other words, you lose your job before the loan funds, you now have an asset with an improved value in which you have created equity that you can sell, recover your capital on, and still make a profit. At the end of the day, you are putting more money in a deal initially, but that is only for a short time. You end up putting much less money in the deal at the end, improving your ROI and reducing your risk, all at the same time. 4. BRRRR only works if you're willing to do a massive rehab. While it's true, more BRRRR purchases tend to be bigger remodels, this doesn't necessarily have to be true. What does have to be true is you are paying significantly under market value for a property that will appraise for more than you paid for it when you go to refinance. Does this mean you have to buy a fixer-upper? Nope. Does this mean you need to get a great deal? Yep. Are most fixer-uppers great deals? Usually, but it doesn't have to be so. Why I disagree. The BRRRR model works because it's so much more efficient, not because it requires you to buy a fixer-upper. I have used the BRRRR model successfully several times buying deals from wholesalers that needed very little rehab work. I'm talking a thorough cleaning and some paint, that's it. While these aren't as common as the fixer-uppers, they do still occur. You do not have to buy a fixer-upper to BRRRR successfully. 5. BRRRR is for cash buyers, and I'm sorry, but that's just not me. Many different kinds of investors use the BRRRR formula and BRRRR-related strategies to increase their returns, the velocity of their money, and the number of deals they can take down. So why do people think it's only for cash buyers? Probably because that's who uses it most. While it's true that cash buyers likely make up the lion's share, many different buyers use the BRRRR method to structure their deals. Why I disagree. Let's start with apartment syndicators as an example. I have been a partner on several different big projects where a group of investors all put our money together and bought a large multi-unit apartment complex together. The properties were purchased with almost 75% agency debt, a bank loan. Then we investors kicked in the remaining 25% of the down payment plus the rehab costs. The rehab money was used to clean up the apartment complexes and in the process increased their value. Once the apartments had a higher value, we had an asset we could borrow against again. Approximately 2 years into the project, we refinanced them and paid the investors back a chunk of their original investment. 3 years after that, the property was either sold or refinanced again to give everyone their profit. Apartments are not the same as small single-family houses, yet this principle works the same. Buy a property however you want, your money, someone else's, both, etc., improve its value, then refinance it. In this example, we are not buying $7 million properties with cash. We still use debt, then refinance that debt later. These BRRRR strategies work even if you're not an all-cash buyer. 6. What happens if the appraisal comes in low and I can't get all my money back? A low appraisal can be a wet blanket on many a real estate deal. We can't control what an appraiser is going to determine, and anytime there is uncertainty like this, anxiety is sure to follow. For many investors or would-be investors, they just can't bring themselves to live or work in an environment that provides this much uncertainty. The ability to know the future and know what a property will appraise for throws a lot of people off. In the case of a low appraisal, there are three main options you can consider. The first is to challenge the appraisal, present your comps, and try to get a better result the second time around. The second is to pay for a new appraisal, if your lender will let you, and hope for a better result. The third is to consider selling the property and hope for a higher sales price than your appraisal, and banking on the fact your buyers will order their own appraisal that will be higher than yours. If none of these ideas are appealing to you, there is still hope. You can still accept your disappointment, refinance the property, start making money, and look to get them next time. In the case of a low appraisal, it's true you may not recover 100% of your capital. This doesn't have to be discouraging, however, because it's not a sign you failed. To me, recovering 100% of my money is considered a home run. I may aim for this on every deal, but I don't expect it. In reality, even if you don't get the appraisal you hoped for, you're still likely to get a much better result than if you'd used the traditional model. It's a healthier perspective, in my opinion, to compare your BRRRR results to the traditional results rather than comparing getting 100% of your money back versus only 90% of it. As we've discussed several times in the book, if you leave $5,000 to $10,000 in a deal because of a low appraisal, you still end up with a super high ROI, and just as important, much more of your capital back to reinvest. That's not a bad consolation prize. By keeping the perspective that the point of BRRRR investing is to receive more of your capital back, not necessarily all of it, you can overcome the "what about a low appraisal" objection and get on your way to creating wealth through real estate. 7. BRRRR remodels are always big remodels, and that intimidates me. This isn't necessarily an argument against BRRRR, but more against rehabbing in general. While I can relate to those who are intimidated by a remodel, I can't really agree it's healthy or wise to stay in that place. Real estate investing is all about adding value, especially BRRRR investing. If you never learn how to manage a rehab or find someone else who can, you are severely limiting your ability to add value to a property. This will have an impact on your ability to grow wealth through real estate. A rehab is one of the easiest and simplest ways to add value to a property precisely because nobody wants to do them. If everybody was willing to do rehabs, there would be no opportunity there for investors. People looking to buy a home to live in would be snatching up all the properties because they were cheap. Opportunity exists because a rehab can be intimidating and therefore creates a barrier to entry. Here's the thing with rehabs. You don't have to be the one doing them. There are lots of people who don't want to invest in real estate. They just want to fix up somebody else's house. It's your job to find these people, or find the people who will find them. It can be more work up front, but will pay huge dividends once you find the right handyman or contractor. When it comes to adding value, every asset you can invest in has a way you can add value. Each asset class is valued differently and therefore needs different strategies to accomplish adding value. Apartment complexes have their value increased by improving NOI. Small businesses have their value increased by improving profitability and reducing the amount of time an owner needs to spend working. A stock's value is increased through the company announcing increased profits. For an SFR property, single-family residence, value is increased through improving the appearance, size, and functionality of a property. This is all accomplished through a rehab. What does this mean? Whatever you have to do to get over your fear of rehabs, you have to do it. Buy books, listen to podcasts, talk to friends, hire a coach. Whatever you have to do, do it. If you can't do it, put your efforts toward finding someone else to do it for you. Pay another investor who is good at it to manage yours. Then just make sure there is enough meat on the bone in your deal to justify this extra expense. Don't let something as formulaic as a rehab intimidate you into not taking action. Too much is at stake. Key points. Equity will not keep you safe in the case of a market correction. Cash flow and reserves will. BRRRR is not riskier than the traditional model. BRRRR is not only for fixer-uppers. BRRRR can work even if you buy with financing. Even if the appraisal comes in lower than you expected, the BRRRR model is still more efficient than the traditional model. Chapter 13. How you should expect BRRRR to improve your results. The successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. Bruce Lee. Quite frankly, learning and mastering the BRRRR method changed my life. I went from a committed but casual real estate investor having a moderate level of success to a respected authority on the topic, being asked to speak, teach, and write about how to pull it off successfully. How did I accomplish this in a manner of a few short years? I achieved mastery through repetition, just like a black belt martial artist. These results aren't unique to me. Anyone can achieve them. That's why I'm teaching you how. If you commit to following this path, you too will eventually achieve mastery. I want to share with you some of the results you can expect if you commit to this process, based on mine and other investors' experiences. Once you see how impactful it is, it's hard not to be excited to get started. 1. BRRRR forced me to analyze deals more thoroughly. Before BRRRR, I analyzed every property I considered buying through one metric, ROI. If I was looking into buying one property versus another, I asked myself which had the higher ROI. If I was considering buying versus not buying, I asked myself if the ROI was better than I could expect on a different investment. If I still wasn't sure, I asked myself if the ROI was worth the time I would have to put in. Basically, ROI was the scope through which I viewed all of real estate investing. When I started BRRRR investing, I was forced to look at many more aspects of each property I was considering buying. Rather than solely looking at ROI, I started analyzing other factors as well. Equity, for example, became much more important to me. Before BRRRR, I was paying pretty close to fair market value and then just waiting to see if my properties would appreciate while I collected cash flow. after Burr, I was looking at how much I could make a property worth, how little I could spend to do that, and how little I could pay for the property in the first place. This new perspective taught me to focus on finding deals, not just finding a return. This was big. Your wealth grows quickly once you start finding great deals. Burr forced me to do just that. Once I realized I only wanted to buy great deals, I started looking for where I could find these deals. Rather than speaking with my realtor, I started reaching out and looking for many realtors. Do you think this helped my ability to determine quickly if an agent could find me properties I wanted to buy? Yep. Here are some of the other ways that helped me. I got better at developing a system to find talented agents. I developed my army of agents looking for deals for me. I looked into more than just one market. I increased the roster of other members of my core four as each agent was able to provide me with more referrals. I increased my own knowledge of real estate as I developed relationships with many more teachers, helping me improve my own knowledge and experience. It wasn't just agents either. As I began my journey of finding where the best deals were, I started finding new wholesalers, bird dogs, and sources to find off-market deals. My knowledge and the value I could bring others increased exponentially, and this opened up even more doors for myself. Book deals, opportunities to write for powerful business publications, news appearances, and an opportunity to host the Bigger Pockets podcast. All of this happened simply because I learned to burr, and that led to real estate mastery. 2. Burr forced me to add value through rehabs. As previously mentioned, if you want to build wealth through real estate, you need to learn how to run a rehab. Kind of like if you want to become a black belt martial artist, at some point you're going to need to learn how to punch. It's a fundamental skill required for combat, just like rehabbing is for real estate investing. When I started to burr, I had to get much better at this. I had to learn to create systems to get bids from contractors. I had to find agents who understood rehab costs themselves. By sheer immersion in this environment, I learned about electrical panels and roofing procedures and the permitting process. Becoming a burr investor helped me to learn how to manage a rehab and enabled me to write the entire part of this book about rehabs. Through burr, I learned how to find referrals for contractors from others, interview contractors, develop systems for receiving bids from contractors, develop a system for running rehabs, develop a system for determining likely ARVs, add square footage, bedrooms, and bathrooms to add value, develop relationships with commercial lenders to continue funding my deals, apply due diligence when buying properties at online auctions. This is honestly just a small portion of the things I've learned. It would have taken me years to learn this if I learned anything at all using the traditional model and barely moving the needle of my own success. If you commit to achieving mastery through burr, you can expect similar results. 3. Burr taught me to work only with the best and form a dream team. When you're buying lots of properties, you end up doing a lot more work. In order to prevent yourself from burning out, you start relying on other people more. Once you're forced to rely on other people, you quickly start to demand excellence where once mediocrity was fine. It is truly the power of your team that determines whether you will succeed or not. The unexpected result of surrounding myself with top talent is how they helped me do my job better. Having top-level contractors helped me do my job by putting me in touch with other investors and wholesalers with resources I needed. My opportunities to succeed began to increase exponentially with each all-star I added to my team. Working with talent like this forced me to step up my own game as well. As I demanded more from others, I had to do more myself. This caused me to get more out of myself and increase my own success. The burr method and the volume you can do with it will open up these doors for you as well. 4. Burr helped remove my FOMO, F-O-M-O, or fear of missing out. Before Burr, I only had so much capital to go around. This led to a horrible case of FOMO. If I buy here, I cannot buy there. Which is best? This created a nasty cycle of anxiety as I tried to pick the best markets to invest in. The problem was, I would take so long to get back to agents or wholesalers about deals that they stopped bringing them to me. It was not good for my business or my mental health. With Burr, I know I'll be getting capital back after the purchase, so I don't have to worry about missing out on the next deal. I can buy here and I can buy there because I have enough capital to do both. I cannot stress enough how powerful this mindset is for your own ability to make progress and take action. This more efficient model of investing opened up doors for me that seemed sealed shut before. What kind of investor do you want to be? In Chapter 1, we compared the two strategies of Traditional Tom versus Mastery Mike. Their results were vastly different and incredibly impactful when compared side by side. You can retire with massive wealth, or you can retire with pretty good wealth. Both are better than nothing, but why wouldn't you want the vastly superior results? Getting better at something is how you improve your own position in life. It works whether you are trying to get a promotion at work, establish better relationships, or build more wealth. Considering that mastery is built on repetition, why would you avoid it? Mastering Burr is by definition mastering real estate investing. It covers each step of the process from buying a property to refinancing it and moving on to the next one. Getting good at Burr is getting good at real estate investing, and that will build your wealth. To put it candidly, all the best investors I know are using some form of the Burr method or its principles in their investing business. It is simply the most efficient, most effective, and overall best way to purchase real estate. If you bought this book, you are clearly interested in growing wealth through real estate. I can tell you, speaking from experience, substantial wealth is possible through real estate investing. It is the single best way I know of to build wealth, and the Burr method is the single best way I know how to do it. Don't sacrifice your future by not taking action today. This has been Buy, Rehab, Rent, Refinance, Repeat. The Burr Rental Property Investment Strategy Made Simple. Written by David Green. Narrated by Clifford Ponder. Copyright 2019 to David Green. Production copyright 2019 to Bigger Pockets Publishing.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.